Hey guys, I'm Pastor Jason Shirley. I'm the associate pastor right here at Word of Life Church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I'm really excited that you have joined us today online. Just a couple of things. I want you to drop us a line if you're watching wherever in the world and let us know where you're watching from. We would love to hear from you. Second, if you want to partner with us today in a financial way, then you can give by texting 84321 and just text your amount, or you can go to our website, wolcarlsbad.com, and you can click the Give tab and give that way. The last thing today is that if you have any needs or anything like that that we can partner with you on, then drop us a line and send us that, and we're going to partner with you in prayer. I believe today is going to be a wonderful day. I want you to open up your heart to receive from the Word of God today, and always remember that God is madly in love with you. Let's get to the service.
We're talking about hope today, and how many believe that that the Word of God is life to us? Anybody believe that? Do we believe that the Word of God is life?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe the Word of God is living. And the scripture tells us that the Word of God is living, it's active, it says it's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, and it pierces to the division, even in a physical sense, to get a picture of it, of joints and marrow. And it says it can determine the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen? It can determine or discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God was crafted to us to penetrate beyond our exterior, our rough and tough and hurt and broken exterior, and to penetrate right to our heart. Amen? How many believe that the hope of Jesus was administered to our heart first? Amen? I don't think y'all got that, or maybe you don't understand it yet. You're going to, but I believe that hope is administered to our heart first, and then we begin to live from the inside out. I love this time of year. I love everything about it. I love the Christmas trees. I love the lights. I love the presents. I love the Christmas carols. I love it that this is the one time of year that I can turn on my TV and I can hear the gospel. Amen? No, y'all didn't get it. Y'all got to come alive, all right? You got to come alive today. I don't know how much I can yell, and I got to sing like one more song, but I'm going to do it if I have to. Y'all got to come alive. I'm telling you, this is the time of year that we can turn on the TV, we turn on the radio, and we hear people that don't even have any recollection of God at all preaching the gospel. Amen? Praise God. We hear things like joy to the world because the Lord has come. They think they're just singing a Christmas song, but to me what they're singing is freedom because joy was born to me. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There's a song in this time of year called O Holy Night, and I'm sure that you know it. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. But there's a line in there that says, the thrill of hope and the weary world rejoices. The thrill of hope and the weary world rejoices. How does the world rejoice? You know, a lot of times we talk about like the over-commercialization of Christmas, and I don't really want to get all into this over-commercializing of Christmas. I'm telling you, I love it, all of it. I love Black Friday. I love all of it. Fighting over towels, 50% off. All of it. But here's the thing. The reason I love it so much is because when I look at Christmas, I think, man, isn't that just like my God to throw the biggest party in history for the birth of his son? Amen? Hallelujah. To celebrate the birthday of his son, he gets people that don't even know him to worship him. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. All over the world. Every corner of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Now, I know that that line isn't scripture. The song is old. Sometimes we think of it in like a King James English or something like that. I know that, but I know it's not scripture, but I was thinking and meditating on this word thrill. What does the word thrill mean? As I began to think about it, I started doing some research and look it up. Now, the definition I think that we're all kind of familiar with is the word thrill. It means a sudden feeling of excitement or pleasure. A sudden feeling of excitement or pleasure. But there's another definition of thrill. In regards to medicine and the medical community, the word thrill means a vibratory movement or resonance that can be heard through a stethoscope. So like you partake of a medicine or you're given a treatment or something like that, and there's a thrill that's happening on the inside, maybe that's not happening on the outside. Let me say that again. Sometimes there's a thrill that's happening on the inside that's not really manifesting on the outside yet. A stethoscope, you guys know what a stethoscope is. It's an instrument that, what does it do? It listens to your heart. A stethoscope is an instrument that listens to your heart. See, the thrill that's taking place, it may not be manifested on the outside, but it's showing itself on the inside, and we need a stethoscope to listen to it. Why? Because we need to be able to listen to what's happening to the heart. What is happening on the inside? What is happening in your heart, or we could say in your spirit? This is a biblical definition of hope. Hope is the purpose of a word from the Father that is a confident expectation that the fulfillment of that word is, number one, for you, and number two, was provided in the gift of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I know that was a ton of words if you were trying to write that down. I do not have it up there, but let me tell you again. Biblical hope. The purpose of a word from the Father that is a confident expectation that the fulfillment of that word is for you, and it was provided in the gift of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says it this way: therefore we do not lose heart because even though our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day. We do not lose heart even though our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. Today, I can tell you this. I don't have a lot of time, but I come on a specific assignment today that for the Christian, a word from the Father is not just a feeling of excitement and expectation in the flesh. But even though the flesh is perishing and that word from God may wane in the flesh, when the word from God is spoken, it immediately begins to rattle the bones on the inside of you, and there's a thrill that is happening on the inside of our spirit and in our hearts, and the things that are unseen begin to become alive in our flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. The things that are unseen begin to move. When a word from God is revealed, that word is renewed every single day. Though our flesh is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day by day by day. So even though our outward man may lose sight of the word from God that was spoken over you, I'm telling you today that hope was made alive on the inside of you. And on the inside of you, it's renewed day by day, every single day. Amen. Praise God. Romans 5:5, it says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in my heart through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to give an example today of maybe the most famous example of hope in history. We talked a couple of weeks ago about a man named Abraham. Abram received a word from the Father that he had to wait 25 years for. If we look at Scripture, we see that hope began to wane in his flesh. But anytime that hope began to wane in his flesh, God would remind him of the bones that were rattling on the inside of him. Amen? That something was happening in the heart. He waited 25 years before he could even see the start of the fulfillment of that word, that he would be the father of many nations. But God was constantly showing up to renew that word in Abram, even so much that he took him to the sand and the stars, and he said, every time you look at a piece of sand, dude lived in the desert. He was seeing sand all the time. I want you to look at the sand, and every time you see the sand, I want you to remember the word that was spoken to you. And every time you look in the sky, I want you to see the stars, and I want you to think of the word that was spoken to you and cause it to come alive in your flesh once again. Amen. It builds hope. It builds expectation in you that there was a word from the Father. So much so did God remind Abram that he infused Abram with his name, and he said, now you're called Abraham. And so every time you hear your name, I want you to remember that it's not your name anymore, but it's you plus me, that I am infused in everything that you are. Everything that you will become, I am infused. His name was changed to mean the father of a multitude. His name included the promise. Amen? Hallelujah. His name included the promise. I'm telling you today that there are some of you that have received a word from God and you're wondering if it will ever come to pass. And hope is beginning to wane. But today God is infusing his hope. I believe that I'm speaking prophetically today, that God is infusing his hope into every fiber of your DNA to where his word and his promise just becomes who you are today. Amen. Just like Abraham. It's no longer just you, but it's the promise. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, starting in verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, that's God, who gives life to the dead, and he calls things which do not exist as though they did exist. I want you to get that. God who calls things that don't yet exist as they do exist. God who calls those things. God is reaching out to you, and he's calling those things that don't yet exist as if they do exist. He says, the God who calls those things, what? That don't exist, as though they did exist. And then it says, contrary to hope, believed in hope. How do you believe in hope contrary to hope? Because sometimes we hope in the things that are seen. But God is birthing something on the inside of you that's something that's unseen. God is birthing hope in you that is unseen. Contrary to hope, he believed in hope, so that he would be the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even consider the circumstances that spoke against the word of God. It doesn't say they never crossed his mind, but he didn't give them place in his mind. Amen? Praise God. That's a principle we can learn, church. That when God has spoken a word, there are going to be things that come that are contrary to that word, but you don't give them a home in your life. Amen? Contrary to hope, you believe in hope. It says, but he did not waver in the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And then in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, I think up there is going to be the New King James Version. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. So I'm going to add a few words. Well, the Bible does. I don't. It says, for when God made the promise to Abraham, this is Hebrews 6:13. When God made the promise to Abraham, he swore an oath by himself. And since he had no one greater by whom to swear, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited, he realized the promise in the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge of what was to come from God. So many of us stop when we see step one of the promise. But that was Isaac being born, it had to happen, but that was not the promise of God. Abraham didn't even see the fulfillment of the promise of God, but he saw the beginning of the promise, and he believed in that hope, and it carried him. It says that he realized the promise in the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge to what was to come from God. Indeed, men swear an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath serves as confirmation of what has been said, and is an end of the dispute. But in the same way, God, in his desire to show us the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable nature of his purpose, he intervened and guaranteed with an oath, so that two interchangeable things, his promise and his oath, those are two interchangeable things. God's promise is his oath. God's oath is his promise. We can understand today that when God promises something, it's not just an empty promise, it's an oath that he swears by. God promises us. It says, it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. We would do well. We would have strong encouragement. We would have indwelling strength if we will hold fast to the hope that is where? Set before us. Hold fast to the hope that is set before us. Look at what it says. This hope, this confident assurance, we have, what's that word? I don't know. It's not up there. That next word is anchor. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So that's telling us that when we tend to sway to the right or to the left, we have an anchor for the soul, and that anchor is hope. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is both sure and steadfast. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. How many times do our emotions run away with us? How many times does our will supersede God's will in us? How many times when we're in the middle of a battle, we tend to let our mind run away and we try to do things ourselves rather than do things God's way? But he says that the hope that he has given us is our anchor for our soul, so that we don't become emotionally driven and driven by the things that are seen, so that we don't become swayed to the right or to the left, but we have an anchor, and that anchor is the hope in the promise that he has given us. It's an anchor of the soul. And then in the Amplified, it says that anchor cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. It cannot break, it cannot slip, it cannot weigh down, no matter what pressure. Some of y'all are like, man, I'm feeling some pressure. That's okay, because you have an anchor for the soul. Amen. And no matter what pressure comes against you, it cannot slip. It cannot break down. It is a safe and steadfast hope. Now look at this. It's a safe and steadfast hope which enters the presence behind the veil. It enters the presence behind the veil. So he's speaking in terms of before Jesus came and the priest had to go and speak to God on your behalf, and they would enter into the holy place and they had to be blameless in order to enter into the holy place. And they had to start outside the veil and make sure that they were holy, and then they had to go through the veil so that they could get to the holy place. And when they got to the holy place, if they were not found blameless, then judgment was passed on them. But Jesus entered the presence behind the veil. He didn't have to enter the presence in front of the veil. He entered the presence behind the veil. He skipped the before the veil part, and he walked just behind the veil, and he began to plead with God and became an advocate for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Behind the veil, where Jesus has entered as the what? The forerunner. Jesus entered as the forerunner for us. He made everything good. His blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat of God, and today we're free, amen. And then what did he do? He tore down the veil. He tore down the veil. He said, I'm entering behind the veil. I'm spreading my blood on the altar once and for all, and then I'm tearing down the veil. So that no longer do you have to wait to go into the presence of God, but Jesus went as a forerunner, having become our high priest forever. Having become our high priest forever. See, Jesus did what no one else could. He became advocate for us inside the veil. Isaiah says that the chastisement of our peace was on him. That means everything that it took to bring us to a place that we were at peace with God was on Jesus. And if that was on Jesus, then it was paid once and for all. And today, I stand at peace with God, not because of me, but because of Jesus. He did what no one could do. That means the end of the conflict. It means it was no longer based on our righteous works, but it was based on his sacrifice and his blood. And the reason I have hope today is because I no longer stand on the promises. I stand on the results of the gift of my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I don't think that you can celebrate the birth without celebrating the resurrection. And so as a theme throughout this Advent season, we're going to talk a lot about resurrection. Because I believe Jesus was born for the purpose of dying. It's the whole reason he came to earth. And so anytime we think about the baby that was born in a manger, we have to think about the man that hung on the cross. But when we think about the man that hung on the cross, we have to think about the man who is not in the tomb anymore, but is risen. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so powerful. Hope is alive in us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for hope becoming alive in us. We thank you today that you've given us reason to live. You've made your hope alive. You've spoken the word unto us, and that word has rattled our bones, and it's made our heart come alive, and we begin to live from the inside out and be guided by the expectation that you are enough for us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an announcement video for you all. We need sound on that. Can we start it over? She looks beautiful.
Envelope in the back of the chair in front of you. You can fill that out and drop it in the bucket at the back of the room. Let's pray over our giving today. Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you have blessed us with. We acknowledge today that all that we have is from you. It is our honor, it is our worship to give back today. So bless the seed that's sown so that it can come back time and time again so that we can continue to invest into your kingdom. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How do we go about, we've heard the message about the hope of Jesus, but I want to remind you that as you go through this week, I want you to look for the hope. Look for the hope. You see, the world was in a situation that since Adam's fall, man had been separated from God. But God had promised Adam in the Garden of Eden, he had promised him that I'm going to send one into the world. It's going to be the seed of the woman. And he told the serpent, he said, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And so for 4,000 years, man had been living in an anticipation. Well, the anticipation gave some degree of hope. But then there came the day when on a hill outside of Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their sheep. And the angel of the Lord appeared and he said, I've come to bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all people. It told about the birth of Jesus in a manger in Bethlehem. You see, the hope that there was coming a Messiah had now stepped up to another degree of hope because the Messiah is now here. Because the Anointed One is now here. He has arrived. But you see, as we live our lives today, many times we live looking at the situation of the world around us, looking at the circumstances of the world around us, which doesn't give us much hope. But I want to encourage you this week as we talk about hope and go through the Advent guide with your families. And I want to remind you to look for Jesus in every situation. In every circumstance, in everything that happens in your life and everything that happens in your home, look for Jesus in it. Because when you can bring Jesus into the situation, you've brought hope into the situation. Praise God. Because Jesus came, and when he came and went to the cross, died there on the cross, rose again from the dead, everything changed. Everything changed. Hope had now been realized. So look for Jesus in a situation, because when you see Jesus, you're going to see that there is hope for you. When you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you an evil report, remember this, but Jesus did this. The doctor says, well, here's what we see. You say, here's what I see. I don't mean you got to be rude to the doctor. I just mean you got to, you know, in yourself, understand that the doctor's, he's telling you what he sees. That's what he's paid to do. And if you don't want him to tell you what he sees, don't go to him. But here's what you say. You look at the situation. You say, the doctor said this, but I see Jesus here. Praise God. When things are difficult on your job, see Jesus. Because it is Jesus that has changed everything for you, has given you a new perspective and a new outlook. When trouble visits your home, see Jesus. Because Jesus changes everything. Praise God. That's why he's the hope of the world. There's an anticipation. You see, when I heard, when I knew I needed to be saved, when I knew that I was dead in my trespasses and my sins, and there's no hope for me because I can't save myself. But then I heard that Jesus died on a cross, paid for my sin, paid the penalty for me. There was no hope. I couldn't pay the penalty. If I wanted to pay the penalty, it would take me eternity to pay the penalty. You see, that's the situation that we were in. But Jesus came and paid the penalty for me. He was the only one that could. Now, hopeless has turned into hopeful. Now I know I am hopeful that I can be saved. So today, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your situation without him is hopeless. The penalty cannot be paid by you. But Jesus said, I paid it. I paid it. And if you believe that Jesus came into this world, now, here's the next point. The disciples thought when Jesus was nailed to the cross and they buried him in the grave, they thought all hope was gone. But 3 days later, hope arose. Praise God. This is why we don't just believe that Jesus came into the world. We believe he came into the world, he died and paid the penalty for our sins, and then he rose again. This is why Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, see, you will be saved. If you've never prayed that prayer, today I want to invite you to make a verbal acknowledgement of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. So say this with me. I'd like everyone in this room to say this with me. If you're watching online, right where you're at, if you're driving down the road, if you're at work or whatever you're doing today, but watching this video, I want you to pray this prayer as well. And if you actually mean what you're saying, then according to God's word, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Now, don't worry if you don't mean it, if you're just saying it because somebody said say it. If you don't mean it, nothing will happen to you. But if you mean what you're saying, then you will pass from death to life. Hope will arise on the inside of you that now, because of Jesus in your life, everything begins to change. Praise God. Praise God. Let's say this together. Say, God in heaven, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me, to pay the penalty for all of my sin. And I believe on the third day, you raised him from the dead so I could have new life. And today I choose to put my trust in Jesus for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on that cross, for becoming the sacrifice that satisfied God. And today I choose you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen.